Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The countdown is on for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 196 days away to the multi-sports festival in Japan. Kenya was the top-performing African team at the last Olympics, held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 2016. Team Kenya tallied 13 medals total, 6 gold, 6 silver, and 1 bronze. All of the medals came in athletics, with world record holder Eliud Kipchoge and Jemima Sumgong winning gold medals for Kenya in the men's and women's marathons. And this Olympic note for our Voice of America listeners: the men's and women's Olympic marathons were originally scheduled to be held this year in Tokyo. But because of concerns about the heat, the International Olympic Committee decided to move the men's and women's marathons, as well as the race walking events, to the cooler climate of Sapporo in northern Japan. Meanwhile, Kipchoge is taking a quiet approach to his Olympic ambitions early in this new year. In an interview with the Italian newspaper La Gazzetta dello Sport, Kipchoge said, and I quote, "I normally focus one race at a time. So for now, my full focus is on the London Marathon in April." Kipchoge will be defending his London Marathon title on April 26th in the British capital. Last year, Eliud ran to a record 4th victory in London, clocking 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 37 seconds. The 2020 Olympic Men's Marathon is scheduled for the last day of the Games on August 9th, so Kipchoge would have about 3.5 months to rest and train between the British and Japanese races. In more Olympic news, Kenya has booked a ticket to the Olympic Women's Volleyball Tournament in Tokyo. Samson Omale has that story, as well as more African Olympic news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Kenya's female volleyball team, the Malkia Strikers, have qualified for the 2020 Volleyball Olympics to be held in Tokyo, Japan in July. The national ladies volleyball team beat Nigeria in 3 sets, 25-15, 25-21, and 25-12, making it to the tournament. Kenya now has 3 team sports at the Olympics, as Malkia Strikers will now join the Rugby Sevens men and women's teams. Staying with the East African country, the participation of Kenya swimmers in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics is hanging in the balance after the International Swimming Federation, FINA, suspended the Kenya Swimming Federation until they hold elections. The Kenya Swimming Federation last held elections in September 2014, but despite constant notices by FINA, they have failed to hold elections, prompting the World Swimming Governing Body to act. According to the FINA Rule C-828, all members are obliged to hold the General Assembly at least every 2 years. The General Assembly must approve the accounts, the budget, a technical report, as well as an audited report. Elections must also take place every 4 years. But it appears the Kenya Swimming Federation seemed to be in default of most of these rules. In the meantime, the Rwanda National Women's Beach Volleyball teams will be looking to emulate recent heroics of their male counterparts when the Sub-Zone 5 qualifiers for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games get underway in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, later today. In the men's category, Rwanda advanced to the second round earlier this week after finishing top of Sub-Zone 6 in Eritrea, following effortless victories over Egypt, Eritrea and South Sudan. And to West Africa, where the Nigerian Football Federation has confirmed its interest in hosting the 2020 Women's African Cup of Nations. The Super Falcons have won the tournament as host on three previous occasions in 1998, 2002 and 2016, and are also the current holders, having claimed an 11th title overall in 2018. The Confederation of African Football President Ahmed Ahmed told the French radio station RFI that Equatorial Guinea are also interested in hosting the event. CAF is in the race to find a host for the finals after Congo Brazzaville pulled out of the hosting of the 12-team event last year. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Our big African football story this week on the Sunny Side of Sports was Liverpool and Senegal star Sadio Mane winning his first African Player of the Year award in Egypt.
Well, I'm really happy and same time I'm really proud to win this award. I would like to thank my family, especially my uncle Sana Touré is here today with Nyaga. By the way, without forgetting all the Egyptian people. By the way. And as well, my coach is here today. Alice is here. my teammate, national team, and the staff, the federation, Liverpool Football Club, my teammate, and the staff, all the everybody. And again, it's a big day. For me, I don't know how to say, but I would love to thank all the Senegalese people. They've been for me all the time.
This marks the first time 27-year-old Sadio Mane has been crowned the king of African football. He finished runner-up to Liverpool teammate Mohamed Salah of Egypt in 2017 and 2018. Mane is only the second Senegalese to win the award, after El Hadji Diouf, who was the winner in 2001 and 2002. During the Confederation of African Football festivities in Egypt, Sadio Mane spoke of his humble beginnings in Senegal.
Same time, my village, I'm really coming very, very far. Very small village, Bambali. I'm sure they're watching on TV. And, also, Grandjean is here. I call him Grandjean, Thomas Brolin. And again, I'm really happy and very proud to win this.
Sadio Mane was one of more than a half dozen winners at the CAF Awards ceremony in Egypt. Samson Omale joins us now with more on the CAF Gala. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Tanzanian bongo flavor recording artist Diamond Platnumz thrilling audience to some of his favorite hits in an entertaining night at the CAF Awards Gala in the Egyptian Red Sea city of Hurghada. The first award of the night went to Yusuf Bilali, the talented Algerian forward who plays for Al Hilal, who was named the African Interclubs Player of the Year. Then followed 21-year-old Morocco right-back Achraf Hakimi, who plays for Borussia Dortmund on loan from Real Madrid, who won the award for the Youth Player of the Year award. Then the other awards began to follow one after the other.
Now it's time to know who's the African Women's National Team of the Year. And the best African woman national team of the year 2019 is Cameroon.
Goal of the year 2019, Riyad Mahrez.
It's time now to announce the African coach of the year women.
For 2019 is Desiree Ellis.
The African Federation of the year 2019. And the winner is Egyptian Football Association, Mabrouk.
African Women's Player of the Year 2019, Asisat Oshoala.
Then came the moment everyone was waiting for, and the honors was for the CAF president, Ahmed Ahmed, to perform.
African Player of the Year 2019, Sadio Mane.
The 27-year-old Senegalese striker was up against his Liverpool teammate, Mohamed Salah, the Egyptian who won the awards the last 2 years, and Algerian Riyad Mahrez of Manchester City. Sadio Mane enjoyed a stunning year with Liverpool, winning the Champions League, UEFA Super Cup and FIFA Club World Cup, as well as missing out on the Premier League title by just a single point. He also finished joint second in the AFCON top scorers list, though Senegal were beaten in the final by Algeria. Highlight of the evening was the special award given to Kojovi Obilale, a former Togo goalkeeper who was injured in a terrorist attack on the team's bus in 2010. Three people died, but Obilale survived after bullets damaged his spine, abdomen, intestine, liver and bladder, but has overcome all those challenges to contribute his quota to the growth of football. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax? Unwind or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa. Your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Spain and Serbia advanced to the semifinals Friday at the inaugural ATP Cup men's team tournament in Sydney, Australia. Craig Gabriel reports from Sydney.
The ATP Cup is at the pointy end, and the success of the tournament has been tremendous with atmosphere that is electric. Novak Djokovic said the round-robin ties they played in Brisbane were fantastic, but that Sydney had taken things to another level. Djokovic's Serbian side got past Canada 3-love, but their spot was confirmed after they won both singles. Dusan Lajovic won easily, but Djokovic was taken to the brink by Denis Shapovalov 4-6, 6-1, 7-6. It's the first time the Canadian has won the first set against Djokovic, and this was their fifth meeting. Serbia takes on Russia, which qualified the day before. The Russians are an incredible force with Karen Khachanov and Daniil Medvedev, and their captain is one of the great characters. Marin Safin, who was a member of parliament for a while, said he is full of praise for his players and added that Medvedev should have a big year after his breakthrough late in 2019.
In tennis, there is not a rule, but it's always a very important thing. The first year, when you start and you do well, it's a little bit easier than the second year. Because second year, everybody got start to know you, start to learn you, and they try to change the tactic against you. And he was a newcomer last year. So this year, I think he has he's working on a few new things to improve. It's like a telephone. You have to upgrade each year, each time. So I think it's also players that they are doing the same on a preseason. And the way Daniel is taking it, I think it will be dangerous this year. He's very pumped up.
Let's hope it's the right phone number. Australia, like Russia, also advanced the day before, and the home fans will create an epic atmosphere when Nick Kyrgios and Alex de Minaur take to the court as they take on Spain. Spain was the last nation to secure a semis place, and for them, it was touch and go. Roberto Bautista Agut got Spain off to a handy lead by winning the first singles, but then Rafa Nadal admitted to struggling in the conditions, and he was beaten by David Goffin 6-4, 7-6. He gave the Belgian full credit, and Goffin said it's a very important win for him.
Oh, it's always big when you play Rafa in a big stadium, night session. You play for a country, competition like that. With that format, we were 1-0 down after the first single of Kimmer. So I had to step out on the court and try to fight, to show what I can do, to play my best tennis, to try to go, to stick to my line, try to dictate, be aggressive. That's what I did. So a match like this, to win against Rafa, it's something big for me.
It went down to the doubles, and Nadal and Pablo Carreño Busta eventually won a tight match, 6-7, 7-5, 10-7 over Sander Gil and Jonas Fliegen. In the semis, it'll be Kyrgios against Bautista Agut and de Minaur against Nadal, who's won their previous two matches. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Sydney.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers will have surgery Friday for a torn ligament in a finger in his left hand. Embiid suffered the injury Monday night in a victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The 25-year-old Embiid will be evaluated by doctors in 1 to 2 weeks, and I know Philadelphia fans hope he comes back as soon as possible. The Cameroonian center is averaging more than 23 points and 12 rebounds a game this season. The torn ligament in his finger is just the latest injury to slow down Embiid during his first few seasons in the NBA. In fact, the big man from Yaounde missed his first two NBA seasons because of foot injuries. With Embiid sidelined indefinitely, Philadelphia defeated the visiting Boston Celtics Thursday night as we hear now from the AP's Michael Luongo.
The 76ers rallied in the fourth quarter, taking a 109-98 win over the Celtics. Philadelphia in the final quarter down by three when they took the lead for good on a 7-2 run capped by a three-point basket by Furkan Korkmaz. Up by four late, the Sixers sealed the win with a 7-0 run closed up by a jumper by Al Horford that pushed the lead to 11. Josh Richardson had a game-high 29.
I'm proud of the way that we adjusted. You know, it's not easy to change the whole game plan that your team is going to have to go into to battle with. And I think we did that in a short turnaround, and we put it to the test today, and everybody, you know, did a good job of executing it.
Ben Simmons added 19.
Touched some defense with us, and that was the focal point, you know. Getting stops and then obviously, you know, pushing the ball and moving it and just playing team ball.
Kemba Walker had 26 for Boston. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. With that win over the Celtics, Philadelphia moved a game and a half behind Boston in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Each team has 25 wins. The Celtics have 11 losses and the 76ers have 14 losses. Elsewhere around the NBA, Houston Rockets star Russell Westbrook has returned to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in his first game back since the Thunder traded him to the Rockets. Westbrook had a big scoring game, but it wasn't enough to power the Rockets to victory. The AP's Bradley Henderson reports from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the visiting Houston Rockets 113-92, a season low scoring for Houston. Danilo Gallinari led the Thunder with 23 points and 11 rebounds. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander contributed 20 points in the win. Russell Westbrook led all scorers with 34 points and 5 assists in the loss.
I didn't get this feeling of like I was nervous or like it was weird or just like I felt like I was playing back in Chesapeake, like, just like a normal game for me, honestly. Obviously, with everything going on, it's not a normal night, but me personally, once I got on the floor, that's how I felt.
Oklahoma City has now won 7 of their last 8 games and improves to 22-16 on the season, while Houston falls to 25-12. Bradley Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Thanks, Bradley. Los Angeles Lakers star LeBron James leads all players in the latest round of fan balloting announced by the league for the NBA All-Star Game on February 16th in Chicago. LeBron has tallied almost 3,360,000 votes so far in the All-Star Game balloting. That puts him more than 82,000 votes ahead of 20-year-old Slovenian star Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks among all Western Conference players. In the Eastern Conference, the leading vote-getter is Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, who has more than 3,259,000 votes. Giannis is the NBA's reigning most valuable player. The second leading vote-getter for the All-Star Game in the Eastern Conference is Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid, as I reported earlier, will have surgery Friday for a torn ligament in a finger in his left hand, so his status for next month's All-Star Game in Chicago is uncertain. Joel Embiid has more than 1,784,000 votes. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of the new king of African football, Sadio Mane, the Liverpool and Senegal danger man. Joshua Zenit, a big fan of the Sunny Side of Sports, comments, "This Mane is a true king." And Magnus Chisimone Wadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, writes, "Congratulations to Sadio Mane. He truly deserved it." And that wraps up the January 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Host Carol Castiel elicits reaction to the U.S. targeted killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and Iran's retaliation from two distinguished national security experts. Ellen Lapson, director of the Center for Security Policy Studies at George Mason University, and Mara Carlin, director of strategic studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to scientists, nearly 800,000 years ago, a 2-kilometer-wide meteorite struck the Earth with such force that debris from the collision was flung over Asia, Australia, and Antarctica. What has long been a mystery is that the impact crater from the tremendous strike has never been found. Researchers led by Nanyang Technological University in Singapore say they have found what might be the location of the missing impact crater. After gathering geochemical, geophysical, and geochronological evidence, the researchers suggest that the crater is buried beneath the Bulawayo Plateau volcanic field in southern Laos. The scientists say their evidence indicates that the crater is approximately 15 kilometers wide. A study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences details their findings. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The 62nd annual Grammy Awards show is coming up. To celebrate, Border Crossings will play songs from the winners of the 2019 American Music Awards to refresh you on some of last year's best tracks. Tune in to hear from your favorite artists like Post Malone, BTS, and Taylor Swift, January 23rd on The Voice of America.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, slavery, racism, and colonialism fueled the emergence of Pan-Africanism. Reflections on the significance of Pan-Africanism on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
John Fortier, Director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, Senior Vice President for Policy at Third Way, talk with host Carol Castiel about the substance and politics of the U.S.-Iran crisis, the impending impeachment trial of U.S. President Donald J. Trump, and the contours of the 2020 Democratic presidential race. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Encounter on The Voice of America.